Glory. Hallelujah. You can open in your Bibles, if you would please, to Galatians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at the same time. Amen. We are going to begin tonight an 8-part series on Mountain Moving Love. This will be a Wednesday night service. We won't carry it through Sundays. We'll be continuing to minister on the subject of miracles, messages as the Holy Spirit gives them to me as the weeks progress. But on Wednesday nights, we're going to be ministering on Mountain Moving Love, because without Mountain Moving Love, we're never going to see Mountain Moving Miracles. Amen? The Bible says that faith works by love. Amen? There's a Godward side, and there's a manward side to the miraculous. There's a Godward side, and there's a manward side to experiencing the miraculous. Amen? The manward side is that we must believe. Jesus said, all things are possible if only you believe. That's the manward side. When we do our part, what I call the manward side, and believe, God will do His part, and He will cause miracles, the supernatural, and the gifts of the Spirit to be manifest in our midst. Amen? There's a Godward side, and there's a manward side. We must believe in order for God to perform. But we can believe all we want. If we're not walking in love, we're believing in vain. We're not actually even believing if we're not walking in love in every realm of our existence. Amen? I want you to know, no one is perfect. When the Bible calls us to perfection, it calls us to maturity in the things of God. To walk in the Spirit is not to sit in a basket of fruit, cross-legged, with your palms up towards the clouds, reciting a mantra. Amen? That's not being spiritual at all. When the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit, it very simply means to walk in love. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. Amen? To walk in the Spirit as God is in the Spirit is to walk in love. So the Lord's put it on my heart to share with you for the next 2 months of Wednesday evenings a series we're going to call Mountain Moving Love. Because without Mountain Moving Love, we will not experience Mountain Moving Miracles. I'm going to say it again because the Holy Spirit's impressing me to do so. There is a manward side to the supernatural, and there's a Godward side. We must believe. We must get in faith. But we're not in faith if we're not in love, because the Bible says faith works by love, or faith is empowered by love. No one is perfect, but we all strive for maturity. Amen? I want you to know, at our house, we don't do things perfectly, but we try to do things maturely. Amen? We make mistakes. And we make mistakes all the time. No sense BSing anybody. Baloney shooting. Amen? We're human beings too. We're anointed to preach the gospel, Barbara and I, but we're not anointed to live the gospel. There's an anointing on us to preach the gospel, but there's no anointing on us to live the gospel. There's an anointing in us to live the gospel, just like the anointing's in you to live the gospel. 1 John 2:20 and 27. But we have to cooperate with it, just like you do. We have to strive for maturity, just like you do. We have to repent when we make mistakes, just like you do. And I want you to know, at our house, hallelujah, glory be to God, when we have a skirmish, and we've had them, everybody has them. I want you to know that when we do have them, that Barbara is the first one to come crawling to me on her hands and knees, just like she should. Let me get that straight in case you didn't hear that. Amen? Comes crawling to me on her hands and knees. And you know what she says? Get out from under that bed and repent like a man. Hallelujah. Listen, we're human beings too, amen? We're trying to perfect the love walk just like you are. Maurice didn't even laugh because Maurice is thinking, Barbara does, my Barbara does.
She thinks everything.
Same thing's happening to him. Exactly. He said it for me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Same thing's happening for him. Get out from under that bed and repent like a man. Hallelujah. So, we're beginning an 8-part series on the subject of divine love, mountain-moving love, God's love. One of the most important things we'll ever do as Christians is to get a hold of mountain-moving love, is to get a hold of God's love. Amen. We'll never have mountain-moving faith. We'll never see mountain-moving miracles till we get a hold of mountain-moving love. Now, I'm going to share some things with you by way of introduction in this service this evening. We're looking at a lot of Scripture together. Amen. I'm just going to basically introduce the series to you. We're going to just kind of go with the flow of the Holy Spirit here, get His direction for the whole series. I have a pretty good idea how it's going to go, but we always want to get God's mind on the matter. Amen. I always prepare as if I'm going to come in here and preach right from my notes. And I bring my notes into the pulpit and I set them here, but I never bind myself or the Holy Spirit to them. Amen? That's why we've just recently changed the bulletin. It's going to say on the front, we've changed the TV broadcast too. It says, The Gathering at Cape Cod, a Word and Spirit Church. We build on the Word, but we want to move with the Spirit. Amen? We don't want to build on the Word at the expense of the Holy Spirit. We want to preach the Word of God. We always want to give the Holy Spirit opportunity to move in our midst, to lead me up here in my preaching and my teaching, and then to demonstrate Himself on your behalf. Amen? So, Holy Spirit of God, we're believing You to take us through this series. It's going to be good. Amen? We're going to learn a lot. Amen? We're going to learn a lot about getting out from under those beds and repenting like adults. Amen? When we're wrong. Amen? Hallelujah. So praise be to God. Look right there in Galatians chapter 5. Let's just go over here. This is be the first one we're going to look at together. And then you can also keep your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Galatians chapter 5. It's not possible to have mountain-moving miracles in our midst until we develop mountain-moving love. So do you understand why we're going to be teaching and preaching on the subject of love for the next 2 months of Wednesday nights at least? If we want to see the miracles in our midst that we're believing for and that I'm teaching about on Sunday mornings, we're going to have to line ourselves up in love anywhere where we're off track. Amen? You got it? Amen? Look right here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. None of that means anything to God, but faith which worketh by love. That's what avails something. Faith that works by love. You look it up in the original language, it actually says confidence which is activated by benevolence. That's what matters to God. Amen? When we don't walk in love, we can't have confidence towards God. When we're not walking in love, when we know we're not walking in love towards our fellow human beings, there's a spirit of condemnation that comes upon us and we have no confidence towards God. When we don't have confidence towards God, we cannot expect the supernatural in our midst. Because there's a Godward side and there's a manward side to the gifts of the Spirit being manifested. We must believe in order for God to perform. Amen? And when we're under condemnation, because we know we're not walking in love like God walks in love, we're not able to believe. When we're not able to believe, we're not able to receive. Amen? Love is so important. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm just believing for the day Barbara finally gets the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can all be believing with me that Barbara will get the message how important it is to walk in love. Amen? Hallelujah. She's a good sport when I pick on her when I'm preaching and teaching. Amen? Wait till you get up here. Amen. Hallelujah. You've got to get by me, though, to get up here. Amen? These are verses of Scripture you're familiar with. We're going to just lay a little bit of groundwork here by way of introduction, say some things to you, and then we're going to very specifically in future lessons, we're going to get into mountain-moving love as a fruit of the new birth, mountain move in love in the new covenant, mountain move in love in forgiveness, mountain move in love in divine benefits, mountain move in love in divine health, mountain move in love in human enemies. We're going to get into some good topics here. And by the time you come through this 8-week program on love, your faith level is going to be a whole lot higher than it is tonight. Amen. Your faith for miracles. Amen. If you'll get yourselves out here every Wednesday night, grab your chair, grab your notebook, open your ears, open your hearts. Amen. Faith works by love. The Holy Spirit's instructed me to do this on purpose because there is a Godward side and there's a manward side to the performance, the unleashing of the supernatural. If we'll do our part and get ourselves in love, well, we might be out of love. God will do His part and He'll perform the supernatural in our midst. Amen? But He won't if we don't. He's not going to condone bad behavior. Amen? We've got to be good kids if we want Big Daddy's blessing. Amen? Can I say it that way? God means, knows my heart. He knows I mean no disrespect. Amen? Hallelujah. It's just like in an earthly family. If you want your parents' blessing, you got to play by the rules. Amen? Rule of the house, number one. If you want to see miracles, we want to see miracles in our midst. There's faith works by love. Our faith is activated by benevolence. Amen? Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Slide down there to verse 13. Look with me. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. That word charity, you know, is love. But it's not filial love like human love. The Greek word is agape. It's God's love. A-G-A-P-E. And it means ardent devotion to the well-being of others. Do you see that? The greatest of these is agape love. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of the three is charity or love or agape love or ardent devotion to the well-being of others. That's compassion. That's talking about compassion. Amen? When we operate in compassion toward one another, we open the door to the supernatural. When we don't, we slam the door on the supernatural. Amen? Love is God's love, agape. It's greater than faith because faith can't work without it. That's why love is greater than faith. Faith can't work without love. Amen? It's greater than hope because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, if you're not walking in love, forget hoping for answers to prayer. Because hope is motivated by love or empowered by love as well. No love, no hope, no faith, no promise. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen? Hallelujah. No sense hoping for anything if you're refusing to walk in love. Amen? So it's easy to see why love is greater than both faith and hope, because love empowers both faith and hope. Do you see that? We're just going to look at some scriptures here tonight together, and I'm going to comment on them. Amen? Love is the power supply for faith and hope, just like gasoline is the power supply for your automobile. Amen? But doesn't cost $4 a gallon. It's free. The Bible says the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who's within us. Amen? And we'll look at that later in the program, in the broadcast this evening. Amen? I just want to read with you 1 Corinthians 13. Jump back up there to verse 1 with me, if you would, please. You know these verses. But how does faith come? Hallelujah. Anybody in here ever eat a salad before? Anybody raise your hand if you ever had a salad. You've eaten salad before? All right, everybody's had a salad. Don't need to eat any more salad. Anybody in here ever eaten chicken before? Chicken? Hallelujah. Raise your hand if you've had chicken. Don't have to eat chicken anymore. You had a salad, you had chicken. That should hold you for life. Is that right? How does faith come? How does faith for love come? By hearing and hearing the precious, holy, written word of God along the line of love. Amen? So we're going, just because we're familiar or acquainted with these verses of Scripture doesn't mean we don't have to read them anymore. Amen? The more we read them, the more faith is imparted for them. We're talking about love, so we're going to look at the basic love Scriptures. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Why? Because the Holy Spirit told me to. Amen? It's His program, not mine. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels... Angels speak in tongues? And I have not love or charity. Charity or love. That word right there, of course, is agape. If I don't have ardent devotion towards the well-being of other human beings, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and I have no love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned at Craigville Beach, is that what that's talking about? It's talking about sacrificing your body religiously. And I have no charity, no agape, no ardent devotion to the well-being of others, no compassion. It profiteth me nothing. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, the God kind of love is important to our faith. Amen? If it's so important to our faith as it is, we better find out all we can about it. We better find out exactly what agape love is and what it does. Amen? It's so important to our faith. It's not the same as natural human love. That is filial love, natural human love. Amen? That's where Philadelphia, the word Philadelphia came from. The city of brotherly love, human love. Amen? That kind of love, many of us have experienced the fact that that kind of love, natural human love, can turn from love to hate virtually overnight. That's the human kind of love. That doesn't happen with agape love, the God kind of love. Amen? So we're talking about the agape kind of love, not the filial kind of love. Amen? Divine love never fails. Let's keep on reading here and see what divine love really is and what it does. Verse 4, charity or love, agape love, I'm going to say it again, ardent devotion to the well-being of others, suffers long and is kind. It envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up in pride. It does not behave itself unseemly, does not seek its own way. It's not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. It doesn't automatically assume the worst of everybody. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Agape love, the ardent devotion to the well-being of others and compassion, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, and agape love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Amen? There'll be no need for prophecy in heaven. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. No need for tongues in heaven. We'll understand everything. We don't need tongues and interpretation and prophecy. We get to heaven. We'll have direct communication with God. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Listen, God's love is greater than prophecy. God's love is greater than tongues. God's love is greater than the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. It's greater than the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Amen? It's more important than all of them because it causes all of them to go into operation. Amen. God's love will never pass away. Because God is love and He's eternal, His love will never pass away. Amen? Somebody said, Pastor, there's no way in the world I can operate in the kind of love that you're talking about. There's no way in the world I can operate in the kind of love that we just read about. Well, there is no way in the world that you can do it. Not apart from the Holy Spirit, but you're not apart from the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 5. We're looking at Scripture here together tonight by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's no way in the world or no way in the natural that anybody can walk in this kind of love. There's no way that anybody can have ardent devotion to the well-being of others and compassion even for one's enemies. Amen. There's no way you can do it in the natural. Amen. God is requiring the impossible of us. He's requiring the impossible of us. No tyrant in the world has ever required such impossibility of his servants and disciples like God does. I'm not calling God a tyrant. I'm just saying. It seems almost tyrannical to demand the impossible of your servants. But that's exactly what God's doing. He's demanding something of us that we cannot do in the natural all by ourselves, apart from Him. But we're not apart from Him. Look right here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Again, I'm impressed to just go through scriptures with you tonight. Let the Holy Spirit talk directly to you. Amen. We're laying the groundwork for this 8-part series. In verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Access by faith. See, He gives us access not for an interview, but to remain in His presence forever. Through Jesus, amen? We also have access by faith into this grace. That word grace is God's ability in you to do what you are not able to do. We have access into this ability to do what we're not able to do, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We go through trials, we come out like gold. Amen? God allows us to go through trials and tribulations to remove the impurity from our lives. In patience, experience, or proving, in experience, hope. That's what we've been going through here at the gathering. We've had to be patient as God has proven us, or as He has experienced. God has wanted to experience personally our obedience and our faithfulness. God knew who was going to be faithful here and who wasn't. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knew who was going to stay and who's going to run. He knew who was going to stay and who's going to run, who's going to come back and who's not. But He wanted to know experientially which of us are going to stick around and which of us are going to play around before He starts delving out greater authority, greater power, greater miracles, greater gifts. Now, He knew which of you would stay. He knew because He knows all things. But He didn't know experientially. He wanted to experience it personally. Why? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. He knew Abraham was willing to sacrifice that child. Why didn't He just operate on what He knew? He's God. He knows everything. I don't know. He wanted to experience Abraham's obedience before He promoted him the way that He did. He wanted to know experientially. That's His right. That's His prerogative. He's the Father. We're the children. But one thing I do know for sure is those in this room tonight, He knows experientially you can be trusted with power. You can be trusted with money. You can be trusted with the gifts of the Spirit. You went through this on purpose. Everything with God is deliberate. And the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. Promotion doesn't come from the south. Psalm 75, 6 through 9. If promotion doesn't come from the east and the west and the south, what does that leave us? The north. And Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 says that God dwells on planet heaven north of the planet earth. Promotion comes from the north, from God. The Bible says He lifts one up and puts down another. Your obedience has put you in permission, in position, I should say, for lifting up. He wanted to know your hearts. Wanted to know them experientially. Wanted to experience our hearts. We've been through a lot together. Amen? God brought us together to allow us to go through this tribulation together, to strengthen us. And we've come forth as gold. Amen? Just like Job said, I shall come forth as gold. We have. But wait, there's more impurity he needs to get out of us still. So there's going to be more heating up. That's how gold is purified. You put it into the dross, you heat it up, it foams and bubbles at the top, and you wipe off the dross. And it was worth more than before you heated it up and cleaned the dross off the top. And we're worth more to God now than we were 1 year ago. God knows what he's doing. We're a key group. We are a key group. I don't know what God has for us, but I know this. It's big. He showed me that. I won't go into it tonight. I've shared some of it with Barbara and Maurice. If Helen wants to know, you can ask. I'll tell you about something that the Lord showed me in a vision 3, 4, 5 nights back. Now, amen? Hallelujah. God allows us to go through tribulation. He tests us and he proves us. Amen? And through that, look at right here in verse 4, we develop patience. We develop personal experience in the things of God. And through our what we experience, we grow in hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. This is what I wanted you to see, what the Lord wants you to see. I was talking to you about God, Jesus, demanding the impossible of his disciples, walking in love towards other human beings, ardent compassion, ardent devotion to the well-being of even your enemies. We're able to do it because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Listen, you see this right here? We can walk in supernatural love because supernatural love is on the inside of us. It was imparted to us at the new birth. That's what the Bible reveals. The love of God, the supernatural love of God, the kind of love that produces signs, wonders, and miracles, is resident within each born-again person in this room and within the sound of my voice. We can walk in this impossible kind of love. Amen? Just don't listen to your head. Just don't listen to your flesh. Listen to your heart. Get off alone when somebody comes against you. Get away from them. Somebody comes against you. Don't respond. Don't react in the flesh. Don't react out of your head. Get off alone. Listen on the inside. You realize, you know, I really do have ardent devotion to the well-being of this person, these people who are coming against me. I really don't want evil to come to them. That's supernatural. If you just listen down on the inside. And if we'll listen on the inside and obey that supernatural love that's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, who's been given to us, we'll be able to walk in this supernatural love even when those times come when we would prefer anything else to it. We can do this, the Bible says. We can walk in this kind of love. Amen. Go to Galatians chapter 5. It's a supernatural fruit of the Spirit that was imparted to us at the new birth. The kind of love we're talking about tonight. Agape love. The kind of love that God requires, that Jesus requires of his disciples, and God requires of his children, the ardent devotion to the well-being of others, this compassion that causes miracles, is resident within us. It is imparted to us at the new birth. Whether you feel like it or not, it is in you now. It's good news. Say, I can do this. Hallelujah. Maybe by the end of the series, you'll say it like you mean it. Galatians 5. You want to try it again? Say, I can do this. We can walk in supernatural love and we can see the miraculous. Amen. I was going to say, if we don't, we won't, but we're going to. So because we do, we will see the miraculous. This is why the Holy Spirit's put it on my heart to minister on supernatural love, mountain-moving love, to produce mountain-moving miracles over the next 2 months on Wednesday evenings. Amen. Look, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. By the way, that word Spirit, that should be a small s in your Bible if it's not. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's talking about the fruit of the human spirit. That's a reference to your spirit, your human spirit, which is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the born-again human spirit is love. You see that? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So keep in mind, that's a small s. Whenever you read that, that's talking about the born-again, recreated human spirit. When we were born again, Jesus came to live within our human spirit. And when He came, He brought divine love with Him. How could He not? He is love. How could He have not brought divine love, agape love, compassion for other human beings with Him when He came to indwell you, if He is love? The Bible says, "He who loveth not knoweth not God, for God," or Jesus, "is love." Does Jesus live in you? Then this supernatural, miracle, gift-producing love actually lives on the inside of each one of us. And that's good news. Amen. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, if you want to just put that in your notes, you can look at it later. "He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him." He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. Your spirit is in union with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Living on the inside of you tonight is the Creator of all that exists. Creator God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The love of the Father, the love of the Son, the bowels of compassion of the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you tonight by the agency of the Holy Spirit. How is that possible? How is it possible for them to indwell my spirit? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. We just take it by faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who cometh unto God must not only believe that He exists, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do you believe that He exists? Do you believe that He's a rewarder? Do you believe that He lives on the inside of you? Do you believe that He's love? Then how can you not believe that love, supernatural love, how could you not believe that it indwells you, that it's living on the inside of you? The supernatural love that produces supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles is on the inside of each one of us. And we're just going to have to walk it out if we want to see the kind of miracles God's talking to us about. Amen? Whew, hallelujah. Never again do you have to pray, "Oh God, give me love for that person." It's already there. It's already there. Just thank Him for it. Spend a little, if it's hard coming up out of you, spend a little more time praying in tongues. Tap into it. Pray in another tongue. Spend a little extra time in the Word. It'll rise up out of you. It's in there. Never again should we pray, "God, give me love for that one." Thank Him. He's already given it to you. It's resident within you. Supernatural love is on the inside of you. Amen? Hallelujah. It's on the inside of you. Spend time praying in the Spirit. Barbara and I pray in the Spirit together every day. Every day. Every day. Now, there's been a few days we missed it because the day gets out of our hands and, you know, out of control, you get involved in something that you didn't know was going to take so long. And before you know it, the sun's gone down. It's time to go to bed. We didn't have a prayer time. But few of those times. We've been praying together almost on a daily basis for nearly 20 years. We go off and we pray in tongues together on average every day. Well, how much time do you two spend praying in tongues together every day? None of your business. I'm not going to tell you because we don't want people to pattern themselves after us. You do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. For some people, it's 15 minutes. For some people, it's 30 minutes, an hour and a half a day. Amen? It's all up to the individual. We're not the standard of measure. Amen? The Holy Ghost is your standard of measure. You let Him tell you how much you should be praying in tongues every day. I don't mean to be rude or short or snappy with anybody up here when I say none of your business. I'm teasing you, you know. But I don't like to tell people how much time I've had people ask me, and I don't like to tell them, you know, usually. There's been exceptions, but we don't like to tell people because we don't like people to pattern themselves after us. But we should all be praying in tongues every day. Some. We should all be praying in tongues. And you can listen, you don't have to set aside time to do it. I mean, will you just get on a rug on the floor for an hour and a half on your face? You can do it while you're doing the dishes. You can pray in tongues while you're doing the laundry. You can pray in tongues while you're trying to coax your husband to come out from under the bed and repent like a man. It's a spiritual thing. You can do physical things while you're praying in tongues. Now, we like to set aside time to do it. But we also pray in tongues while we're doing natural things. It's a spiritual exercise. You can do it while you're doing natural things in the physical. Amen? And it really helps you. It just bolsters your spirit. Jude 20 said, build yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in other tongues, keeping yourself in the love of God. It'll really help you to walk in love, particularly when you don't want to. Praying in tongues, it's supernatural. How are we doing here tonight? We're just looking at scriptures and talking to you about them. Some of you are smiling, some of you are not. Amen. This woman, one time in meetings that Barbara and I conducted over a period of time in Tulsa, Oklahoma, this woman used to sit. I'm not saying you're doing this. She used to just sit right up in the front and just scowl. And I couldn't stand it, man. I couldn't look at her. I couldn't stand it. I didn't want her in the room. She would just scowl. Remember? Oh, Lord. It was just the hottest thing in the world. I just knew she hated me. I just knew she hated me. She wasn't receiving. I couldn't stand it. Just the look on her face. And she sat there. We conducted services over a period of weeks there, maybe, I guess, off and on. Several months. We went into this place, preaching the gospel on a weekly basis. And, oh, Lord, she's always there. And it was awful, the way she'd look at me. And then one day, towards the end of the meeting, she walked up to me and she said, Brother Hamill, that was some of the best preaching and teaching I've ever heard in my life. I enjoyed it all thoroughly. And I thought, good Lord, you never would have known it. She didn't know she's looking like that. And I just had to learn from that. Just don't be afraid of their faces. Amen? You just can't let that move you. Why am I telling you that? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. I just remembered her. Just sweet lady. So complimentary. You really can't tell a whole lot by people's faces, but I prefer smiling. Hallelujah. Listen, walking in love is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking in love. It's not some big mysterious thing to walk in the Spirit. It's talking, the scriptures talk about walking in love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in love, even when those times come when you'd prefer anything else to it, and they come to us all. Amen? Walking in love, walking in the Spirit is being a peacemaker, is being the one to make peace. Amen? Make a decision that from this day forth, no matter who causes trouble for you, you're going to act as a peacemaker in the situation. It's not always easy. Amen? It's not always easy. We've all been through some things here together in this church. You don't want to make peace. You want to make war, baby. In the flesh, in your head. Amen? But if you listen on the inside, those folks that, you know, I don't mean to bring it up again. I don't mean to bring it all up again. I forgive the people who have done the things to us, come in our service and do the things that they did and publish things about us and circulate them and accuse us of homosexuality and adultery. You want to defend yourself. You want to defend it, but then when you listen on the inside, get your head aside, get your flesh aside, listen on the inside to your born-again spirit, you realize, you know, I really don't hate those people. I have compassion for those people. I want to see those people repent because I know that the Bible says if they don't judge themselves, they're going to be judged, and they're going to be judged severely. I don't want to see anybody go through that. Even concerning something they did to me or to us. Who does? We don't want to see evil befall people. Amen? I'd rather see people repent and make things right. Amen? My flesh wants to get impatient with people when they come against me and when they come against us. Amen? But when we turn to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to help us listen on the inside, oh, Barbara's mother used to give us a fit. Hallelujah. We just tried to make peace. I wanted to be a good son-in-law. She's in heaven now. Praise the Lord. Amen? She actually made it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I wanted to be... I had been married before I knew the Lord, you know. And and my mother-in-law, back then in the world, was just a monster. And I was determined, I'm not going to have that problem. A lot of that problem was my fault, too. I wasn't as respectful to her as I should have been, because she wasn't as respectful to me as she should have been, because I wasn't as respectful to her as she should have been. You know what I'm saying? I was serving to perpetuate the cycle, too. I was determined, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hit it right. This is a Christian marriage this time. Amen. I'm going to get this right. And I just tried to be, I just did everything I could for her. Just tried to be so sweet to her. That girl just couldn't receive me. She just couldn't find it in her heart to love me. She never developed in the faith. She's a Christian woman, born again, baptized with the Holy Spirit. You didn't know I was going to be talking about your mother tonight, but... It's the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm telling you what, she would give us, if she would give Barbara a fit, I'd want to defend Barbara, I'd want to defend me. It's like, who in the world do you think you are? We're just being love to you. We're just giving you everything, doing everything for you. Why do you have to be such a snot? My flesh and my head. But I'd continually go on the inside, listen on the inside and realize, you know, that's my wife's mother. I don't despise her. I love her. I love her. I've told you before, the Holy Spirit said to me one time, what are we talking about tonight? Why? Because without mountain moving love, we're not going to see mountain moving miracles. Amen? You getting anything out of it? The Lord said to me one time, He said, if you only knew the things that people go through to make them the way that they are, you would have nothing but compassion for everyone. And I began to just think and talk to Barbara about things that her mother had gone through in her life to make her. She was one miserable human being. And it wasn't just with me. It was with everybody. She could not find her way to have peace with anyone, could she? Ah, she's your mother and you love her. I know she's in heaven now. That's all resolved. Amen. She's made it to the other side of the river. She shed her tears. She's seen the mistakes she's made on planet Earth. She's experienced remorse. She's passed through the river. She's been cleansed of all unrighteousness. And she's in heaven just waiting for me and for Barbara. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not putting her down. I'm just saying, whoo, sometimes it gets tough. Amen. Just some few personal illustrations. But if we listen on the inside, it's in there. It's in there. Look at Romans chapter 13. You get anything out of this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 13. I just made the decision with Barbara's mother, I'm going to be a peacemaker. It got to the point where she just drove us away. We just couldn't be near her because every moment with her was strife. And we couldn't afford the luxury of strife. The Bible says where there's bitter envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. Just opening herself up to the devil. Sometimes the best thing you can do to walk in love towards some people is walk away from them. Just get them right out of your life. You're not obligated to keep exposing yourself to that. Amen? Sometimes for the sake of your own faith walk, for the sake of your own marriage, for the sake of your own relationship with God, the best thing you can do is just walk away. And God will honor that. Amen? And you can honor, if it's your parents, Barbara had a nice dad, but she didn't have a nice mom, and I didn't have a nice dad or a nice mom. Amen? Hallelujah. But the Bible calls us to honor our parents. Best thing I could do to honor my parents, just walk away from them and pray for them. Believe God for their repentance. Believe God for their salvation. I had the opportunity to lead them both to the Lord before they went to heaven. Amen? But honoring your parents doesn't mean hanging around, letting them beat the daylights, beat the stuffing out of your soul. Sometimes you got to come away and honor them by praying for them for a distance. Amen? Now, most of us, our parents are gone. We're at that age. But we're talking to people by recording, too. Amen? Sometimes you just have to walk away if you're going to be a peacemaker. You know, King Saul, you're going over there to Romans chapter 13. King Saul constantly tried to kill David. And David always responded in love. David even had opportunities to kill Saul 2 or 3 different times. And he refused to touch God's anointed. He refused to do it. What happened? Saul ended up not being the king of Israel anymore. And guess who got to be king? The one who walked in love towards him, even when those times came, when he preferred anything else in the world to it. He could have killed Saul multiple times. One time Saul was sleeping, he went to use the restroom in a cave David was hiding in, didn't know David was in there. And then he laid down to take a nap, the Bible says. David was sitting right in that cave. He had no idea that David was in there. When he fell asleep, David took a piece of his robe and a knife and cut it off. Saul woke up and there's a big piece missing off of his robe, went out, asked the soldiers what happened. Nobody knew nothing. Weeks or months down the road, David showed up with the piece of cloth off King Saul's robe. He said, I did it while you were sleeping with a knife that I could have slit your throat with, but I didn't because I refused to touch God's anointed. Amen? David was a peacemaker. The end result, he got Saul's job. He was promoted by the great promoter. Because he decided to be a peacemaker when he could have retaliated. Romans 13. I'm just talking to you about some scriptures tonight. Amen. Mountain moving love results in mountain moving miracles. Romans chapter 13 verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor. Some Christian people, some married couples think that they're doing okay as long as they work no ill to their neighbor. They seem to think they can work ill toward the spouse. Amen? But you can't. Amen? Did you hear what I said? Hallelujah. You can't work ill will towards your spouse. Amen? Love works no ill will towards its neighbor, including its spouse. Amen? Some people need to repent. Amen? Before God. For abusive behavior toward their mate. I'm talking women. You know, last Sunday, we talked about Jesus' miracles in women. And I talked about men abusing women, being abusive to women. We had a neighbor one time, a woman in Tulsa. She used to beat the turkey out of her husband out in the apartment hallway. Punching the fella out. I've had to go out there and break it up. She beating his brains in, punching his brains in out in the hallway. A woman. A little woman, too. And he was just afraid of her. Amen? That was a manifestation of demons. Amen? Other spouses, they withhold sex as a means of getting what they want from their mate. Amen? I might not be talking about anybody in this room, but I'm talking to somebody by internet, possibly. By radio. Amen? Hallelujah. Withholding sex from your mate to get what you want is witchcraft. Go to Galatians chapter 5. We'll probably close with this tonight. Amen? Amen. Witchcraft does not mean necessarily that demons are present. Witchcraft, Paul listed with the works of the flesh. What are we talking about in here tonight? We're talking about mountain moving love. Amen? And I'm just going through these scriptures and saying what God puts on my heart. Amen? When a spouse withholds sex from a mate as a means of getting what they want, that's witchcraft. That's control. Amen? Are you there in Galatians chapter 5? Witchcraft isn't necessarily conjuring up evil spirits. It's attempting to control other human beings by any means. Galatians 5. Let me just show you. Paul listed witchcraft with the works of the flesh. He called it a work of the human flesh, not a work of the devil. In verse 19. Are you there? Hallelujah. Can you smile for me? Amen. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's lust, idolatry, witchcraft. Look at that. Paul, right in the middle of the works of the flesh, he puts in there witchcraft. Most people think that witchcraft is conjuring up evil spirits. Paul said, it's controlling other human beings. Anytime a human being attempts to control another human being, he said it's witchcraft. The word is pharmakia. It means to drug someone, to put them under a spell, or to control them for a certain outcome. Spouses do that with one another. Some pastors do that. We talked about one pastor right here in town this past Sunday who has allegedly called people up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go down the store, get him a candy bar, and bring it to him at his home to see how submissive they are. Paul said that's witchcraft. That's trying to control people towards an end. Amen? That's not love. Love wouldn't do that. Amen? I'll never do something like that to you. I told you if I do, you tell me, get it yourself and choke on it. Amen? I'd never do something like that because that's not love. Amen? You can count on me to never do that. Amen? One person told me one time that God told her to withhold sex from her husband because it's the only way I'm going to get him to do what I want. She said, God told me to do that. I said, well, if he did, then he lied in the Bible because he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'll just read it to you, 3 through 5, you can put it in your notes. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has no power over her own body, but the husband. See, Barbara's body's mine, and my body's hers. Paul said it's a mystery. We're one. Amen? We're talking about people, for some reason, right now, who withhold sex from their mate to get their way. Paul called that witchcraft. That is not love. And if you're listening to us by internet or by radio and you're guilty of doing that, you're blocking the spot where God's provision and God's protection comes out, and you're going to want to stop that. Amen? The wife has no power over her body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband has no power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other from sexual relations, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and then come together again sexually, that Satan will not tempt you for your incontinency. Amen? You cause your mate to stumble that way if you do something like that. I'm confident I'm not talking to anybody in this room. But I'm talking to somebody somewhere, somehow. You cause your mate to stumble and you'll share the blame. That's not love. God did not tell you to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. The God kind of love is a fruit of the Spirit, a fruit of the recreated human spirit on the inside of you. Amen? Hallelujah. To walk in the Spirit, let's stand up, is simply to walk in love. To be a peacemaker with your neighbor. Your neighbor is not just the person who lives to the left or the right of you in your neighborhood. Amen? Your neighbor is all other human beings. Paul said, as much as it be possible, live at peace with one another. Sometimes it's not possible, and as we said earlier in the lesson, you have to walk away. You just have to walk away from some people. Sometimes the best thing you can do to walk in love towards some people is just get out of Dodge. Amen? Just get away from him. God doesn't, or him or her, whoever, God doesn't expect you to be a doormat for someone. Amen? Hallelujah. The kind of love that we're talking about here tonight is supernatural. It's a fruit of the recreated human spirit. You can walk in this impossible kind of love. This kind of mountain-moving love will result in mountain-moving miracles. Amen? To walk in the Spirit is to what? It's to walk in love. That's what it means, to walk in the Spirit. It's just so simple, even I can understand it. It means be a peacemaker with your neighbor, with all people, with your spouse, with your children, and with your family. Amen? Father, we thank you for the supernatural ability to walk in love. You've asked the impossible of us, and then you've equipped us to do it by the agency of the Holy Spirit within. Father, we make the decision tonight as a conscious act of our free wills to walk in this supernatural kind of love. We want to see miracles, Father. And we understand, God, that there's a Godward side and there's a manward side to the supernatural. Our side, God, is to walk in love, to get into faith and believe for you to perform the miracles. But we're not in faith if we're not in love, because faith works by agape love. We make the decision tonight as a conscious act of our own free will, Father, to yield to that supernatural love that abides within our human spirit, within our inner man. Paul said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. There's an outward man and there's an inward man. We'll not listen to the outward man, Father. We'll listen to the inward man. We will walk and love God when it's easy and when it's hard, and you will perform miracles in our midst, Father, to draw attention to the gathering, yes, but to draw attention to yourself and to glorify yourself first and foremost. God, we thank you that you enable us to do the impossible, to walk in this impossible kind of love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, supernaturally, that you would love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's the evidence of our salvation, God. That's the evidence of the new birth, that we love one another, we love our families, and we love the people of the world. Let's lift our hands and worship Jesus, worship him tonight. Hallelujah, God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what's coming this year. It's going to be a year of miracles, a year of the supernatural, a year of signs, wonders, and miracles. And we're not going to get in the way, God. We're going to make the way. We're not going to get in the way. We're going to pave the way with supernatural love, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So